And all God's people said, amen. Amen. As I was sitting in the bleachers at Hazelhurst in the cold, the irony of today's sermon hit me. That here I was watching a football game I was not enjoying. Of course, censoring myself because I am the preacher. And here in the moment that I am feeling most desperate and wondering how could such an amazing season end with a football game like this, that all of a sudden I was reminded by the Spirit that my sermon today was to be thankful in all circumstances. And I thought, I've got to do better preparation than this. So perhaps today's sermon, which again the Spirit first spoke several months ago, is as much for me as it is for everybody else. Because not only was Friday night very disappointing for my spirit, but also Saturday was not much better in terms of football for my spirit. I felt good that morning. I felt great that morning. And by the end of the day, it was not feeling that at all. At all. I don't know who that was playing Alabama, but if they'd give us our jerseys back, I'd appreciate that. And then, of course, added to all of that, into the real weight and seriousness of all that has affected our world in these last 48 hours, as we have seen such tragedy unfold and such hate unfold in the lives of the people of Paris, and as the very first of the 10,000 Syrian refugees arrived on American soil, and as all of these things are playing out in a global circumstance. And then I am once again reminded of today's text, where he says, be thankful in all circumstances. And the reality is, really, is it even possible to be thankful in all circumstances? Is that one of those things that sounds so much better when we say it than actually living it? Is this perhaps at some point a prescription that has gone too far? To be thankful in all circumstances. Because there are circumstances which thanksgiving is not the feelings and the emotions that we have, that we would even consider natural, but to be thankful in all circumstances. And so as I have reflected on these words for my own spirit, and as I have reflected on these words this last night, it came to me that yes, on the surface it is a almost ridiculous call of faithfulness on Christians. But in reality, so much of what it means to be a faithful follower of Christ, we could very easily slide into that column of, God, are you really sure? Once again, this is a call to live outside of life as we understand it and as we prefer it. It is a call to live according to a standard that the rest of the world would consider insane. But then when we truly reflect upon the life and the ministry of our Lord and Savior, the world thought he was insane. And as it says time and time again throughout the New Testament scriptures, if they thought that of me, if they said that of me, then why won't you expect it that they would say the same of you? To be thankful in all circumstances. Thanksgiving is something easy to do when life is going great. Thanksgiving is something easy to do when we are feeling the magnitude of our blessings. But when we are caught up in our own circumstances and situations, or when we take for a moment our eyes off our own lives into a much more global perspective, it's often hard to see what should we be thankful for. And yet and still, in the midst of our doubt, in the midst of our frustration, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of all of these conflicting emotions, there is the Word of God saying to us explicitly that even in the most difficult of circumstances, you, as bearers of the name of Christ, are called to be thankful. To be thankful in all circumstances. The translation that I read from this morning says, to give thanks whatever happens. As I reflected on this, I realized that yes, if I just were to take this at its surface value, there is no possible way I have ever lived into this, much more could ever live into it in the future. But as God's Word always does, when it gives us an impossibility, it also shows us how with God, all things are possible. And the same is true in being thankful in all circumstances. I want to return again to verse 16. Again, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. He says, always be joyful. Pray continually. And give thanks whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. So if that is truly what God wants for our lives, then God is going to provide the way for that to happen. And the writer of our text today answers the question, how to be thankful whatever happens. And the first way we do that is with verse 16. You want to know how to be thankful even when you don't want to? You want to know how to be thankful even in the most complicated and difficult of circumstances? The first step you take in being a person who is truly thankful is to be a person who is truly joyful. Now, right now, you're probably exactly where I have been most of this weekend as I've struggled with this, is if I'm finding Thanksgiving impossible, how in the world am I supposed to find joy in the midst of hard times? How am I supposed to find joy in the midst of sickness and loss and devastation? And once again, it seems like an almost impossible task until we truly understand what God means when God calls us to be joyful. And the word that has echoed since All Saints for me, in particular with this understanding of joy, is not the word happiness, but is the word contentment. That is really what the apostle is calling for us, is he's saying, I want you to always be content in the life that you have. And time again, we see this in the writings of the apostle. It doesn't matter if he's in jail. It doesn't matter if he's being tortured. It doesn't matter that he's been in shipwrecks. It doesn't matter that he is broke. It doesn't matter what his circumstances. Time and time again, the apostle in his letters always says, I am content, no matter what happens. And I rejoice. Several years back, Heather and I made the momentary delusional decision to take all of our children on a cruise. Cruises are wonderful for adults. Cruises are wonderful for couples. Cruises with families are great on commercials. But we did. And we had a great time, even though we had seasickness strike and all of those wonderful things. But there was a moment on our very first day when we had arrived in Mexico and we were all had gotten ourselves, had breakfast, and we had gotten dressed, and we had ridden the shuttle in and went to this absolutely beautiful, stunning beach. And it was everything that it was supposed to be. It was everything that the brochure had promised. It was beautiful blue water. It was white sand beaches. And it was the big coconut palm fronds, umbrellas over our chairs, and the weather was perfect, and the wind was blowing, and it was just one of those great moments. And we were there, and the kids were playing, and we were having a great time. And then, as always happens, anytime you're in somewhat tropical situations, what's going to happen just as the sun gets good and hot? It's going to rain. Now, does it ever rain forever? No. It's going to rain. And so here we are, this picturesque island off the coast of Mexico. Everything is beautiful. We're having a wonderful time. And then the rain comes. And so immediately we all gather up under the palm fronds umbrellas. Because again, it's just going to pass for a moment. And so there we are, all huddled there, waiting for the rain to pass. And guess what comes out of the mouth of one of my blessed gifts from God? Oh, I'm so bored. Now, I have several opportunities to respond as a father in this moment. The first, I was quite sure was illegal in Mexico because I knew that it was illegal in the United States. But instead, I decided, let's make this a teaching moment. And so I said to my wonderful, loving offspring in this moment, right now, you are sitting on a beach in Mexico while your friends are in math. Right now, you're sitting on a beach in Mexico while your friends are in school in math class. Do you really want to talk to me about how horrible your life is in this moment? That was my teaching moment. Anybody want to put money on whether it worked in the moment or not? But it's okay, because one day they will have the same conversations with their children, because that was my follow-up. Oh God, give them children just like them. But so many times, that is the way we view those showers in our lives. Is all of a sudden something happens in our life that we haven't planned for, that wasn't part of our agenda, that wasn't something that we had wanted. All of a sudden some storm comes into our lives, and our immediate thought is, now it is over. Now there is nothing to be joyful about. Now there is nothing to be happy about. And here we do not realize, because our perspective is all on the rain around us, that we don't realize that in that moment we're on the beach. Notice what he says. Always be joyful. It is not sometimes be joyful. It is not when it is convenient be joyful. It is always be joyful. To find that contentment in where we are in our lives. And to realize that just because we don't like the perspective that we're looking at in the moment, just because we don't like the view of what is happening right now, does not negate the fact that it is simply a passing storm. And that is where our contentment comes. Our contentment is not in the moment. But our contentment is knowing that another moment is on the way. Because that's what happened. About 10 minutes later, the clouds disappeared. The sun came out. And it was perfect weather again. The fact is, many times in our life, we are going to be impacted with things that come out of nowhere. And in those moments, they will completely rob us of all of our contentment and all of our assurance and all of our joy if we allow it. Or we can simply realize that this is just a moment, and it will be followed by one that will be better. Because our God is still in control of the moments. God will use any tragedy in our lives, and He will work in the midst of it. That's what God does. That's when God does His very best work, is when the world has put us truly on our knees. Then God can do amazing things for us. He says, if you want to know how to give thanks, no matter what happens, it starts with always having a perspective of joy. Learning to be content in the life that God has given you. Learning to appreciate this moment as a blessing or as a passing difficulty. We must always be joyful. And then he continues that into the second part of finding a thankful spirit in the most difficult of times, where he says, pray continually, or pray without ceasing. It doesn't matter whether you use the word continually or use the word without ceasing. The fact is, the point is, all the time. Pray all the time. Story goes, there was a woman who was at work and the telephone rang and it was the school and her daughter was running a very high temp and they said, you need to come get her and get her to the doctor. And so the woman went in and told her boss and he said, go take care of your daughter. And so she runs out to the parking lot only to discover that her keys are locked in the car. And she does not have another set of keys. And so she immediately gets on her cell phone and she tries to call her husband. And he's not answering the phone. And there's nobody else that has keys. And so she doesn't know what she's going to do. And so then she gets on the phone and she calls a locksmith. And he's like, well, I'm all on the other side of town. It's going to be at least 45 minutes before I can get there. Doesn't know what she's going to do. And so finally she's just like, Lord, help me. I've got to get in my car. I have to get to the school. I have to get to my daughter. And just about that point, a guy comes riding up on a motorcycle. And he says, ma'am, do you need some help? And she says, yes, my keys are locked in the car, and I cannot get in, and I've got to get to my child. She is sick. And he says, I can help you with that. And he reaches in one of the saddlebags on his motorcycle, and he pulls out what kind of looks like a wire coat hanger, and he goes to the car, shimmies it down, pops it up, lets her in. And she says, sir, you do not understand that you are an answer to a prayer. God has sent me an angel. And he said, oh, no, ma'am. God didn't send you an angel because I just got out of jail for Grand Theft Auto. And she said, but sir, God sent me a professional. So many times our prayer life is just in those moments when we don't know what else to do and we have exhausted all of our opportunities and we cry out to heaven, God, please help me now that I can't figure out what to do. And it's because our understanding of prayer is just that. Prayer is for us to invite God in when we want God to intervene. And that is such a shallow, ridiculous understanding of prayer, but it's one that we are all guilty of living at times. To pray is to be connected to God. It is to constantly be in tune with what God is wanting to do and is doing in your life. One of the reasons that I talk about glory moments ad nauseum, and one of the things that I love is now when I talk about glory moments, immediately half of you start smiling because you know exactly what is going to happen, is now I'm just going to be staring you down until somebody decides to be grateful for something. But one of the reasons we do that is because we as a people are so unconditioned to realizing all that God is doing in our lives each and every day. And I've had so many people who after service come up and go, well, you know, preacher, I wanted to share this, but I wanted to tell that this is what's going on. And I'm like, why you didn't? Oh, well, I just didn't want to say that in front of folks. Why? Because somewhere along the lines, we somehow trained ourselves that celebrating what God is doing in our lives is not something that's socially acceptable. Which the irony is, we will whine about what God is not doing in our lives. We will whine about all the things that are not happening in our lives to everyone, whether they want to hear it or not. But when it comes to celebrating something good, all of a sudden we get timid. But prayer is staying connected to the Spirit of God no matter what is happening in our lives. The fact is, if we treat prayer as just our intercessions for God to do something for us, there's no possible way any of you can come up with enough stuff to ask God, so you're praying all the time. But if we treat prayer as an opportunity to stay connected to what God is doing each and every moment, then that becomes as easy as breathing. You want to know how to be thankful in the midst of horrible circumstances? You've got to learn to find the joy and you want to know how you find the joy? By allowing God to speak to you and to show you just how loved and blessed you are. Sean shared with the men's prayer breakfast this morning a little bit about his mission trip to Honduras. And about how, and as Pat has shared about her mission trip, that mission opportunities are one of the ways that all of a sudden we come face to face to the reality of just how ridiculously blessed we are as a people. But the thing is, that isn't a reality that we should have to travel halfway across the world in order to understand. Because we should not understand how blessed we are in comparison to someone else. But we should understand just how blessed we are. Because we are a loved child of God. And it's not our blessings compared to your blessings, or I have more blessings than you have blessings, or who has all the biggest blessings. Because it is God's promise that in the midst of life, whether it is joy or whether it is sorrow, that God is always there. That is what blessed is. Blessed is not something you measure. Blessed is not something you accumulate. Blessed is something you know. On All Saints, we looked at the Beatitudes where Jesus gives us a long list of blesseds. And every one of those blesseds amounts to nothing. And none of those blesseds is it your accumulation of anything. It is simply your assurance that God is with you no matter what. You want to know how to be thankful no matter what happens? Understand and live the reality that God is with you no matter what happens. Let us pray. Glorious Father, we thank you. We love you. That you are a God who is always there. And we pray, O Lord, that you will open our spirits to how you are working and moving in our lives. And that we will learn, even in darkness and tragedy, such as we have seen on such a huge scale these last few days, that you are there in the midst working your good and perfect will against the evils of this world. But even if we don't see it, it is just the assurance of knowing that you are there. And for that, we give you praise and honor and thanksgiving. We ask these things in the blessed name of Christ our Lord. Amen.